Saying, let me encourage you to be here Wednesday night. We've been studying on the Holy Spirit, and the Lord has really been helping us in the last couple of Wednesday night services, and so we want you to be here this coming Wednesday night. Get in on that study. Certainly has convicted me in my life and in my heart of trying to be a better Christian, trying to live a more Spirit-filled life. More of the presence of the Holy Ghost within my life. That's a needed thing in our day and hour. Matthew, this morning, chapter number 14, I'm going to read a very familiar few verses of Scripture here and deal with a few thoughts here this morning, and we trust that the Lord will help us today. Verse number 22, the Bible said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, I like that word, don't you? Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. A lot of times you'll cut off your reading of this story right there, but I believe verse 34 is important for the context. And the Bible said, when they had gone over. Now, why is that important? Because in verse 22, the Bible said, and Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. Jesus sent them to the other side. Then the Bible said there in verse number 34, and when they were gone over. Amen. Y'all ain't getting that. Let me mention that again. Jesus sent them to the other side. And then in verse number 34, the Bible said, when they had gone over. In other words, where God guides, God provides. And where God sends, the promises are fulfilled every single time. Let's pray together. Father, help us, Lord, this morning to share what you've laid upon our heart. God, do in our midst what we can't do for ourselves today. Lord, we stand in need of the help of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we pray that you'd meet with us in this place. God, I pray for those, Lord, that are here today, God, that are facing hardships and struggles and problems and the storms of life, that somehow in some way that you might speak to their hearts today. Lord, that you might comfort them from heaven. Lord, I pray, God, for those that are watching today, Lord, that you'd help them. God, do that now as only you can, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. On a stormy sea, late at night. My friend, darkness has descended upon 12 disciples who have just witnessed a marvelous miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And as the storm descends, panic sets in, and we'll deal with that in a little while. The boat is being tossed, and it seems as if all hope is gone. And then in the midst of the storm comes a man walking to them on the sea. And for just a moment, Brother Clarence, for just a moment, Peter does something that he had never done before and would never do again. As a matter of fact, he does something in a dizzy moment of blind faith that nobody has ever done since. We make fun of Peter and we talk about Peter and how Peter run his mouth a lot when he shouldn't have and all of those kinds of things. But let me tell you about something about Peter. He did something none of the other disciples said they could do. And that is, when Peter went to heaven, he could say, "I at least took a few steps on the water." Now, what we'll understand this morning is that the steps that Peter took were not because Peter was a good man. It wasn't because Peter had lived a good life. It was because there was a good God out on the sea, and Peter had faith in him and at his command stepped out and began to walk on the sea. I was thinking about it this week, Peter walking on the water. I see him, Brother Gary, as he throws his feet over the side of the boat and he begins to step out. And the water, Brother Allen, I believe, seemed just as solid under his feet as this concrete does. But I got to think about that, Brother William, and they had still be waves in that. And so he probably's taken a few seconds to get adjusted to walking on the uneven surface, and he's looking at Jesus, and in that moment his heart is filled with faith, and in that moment he's believing in the Lord and he's walking to the Lord. And my friend, he is really showing us what true faith can do in our lives. It makes the storms of life and the uncertainty certain when we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the Lord said, if you'd have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could look at this mountain and say, "Be removed," and the mountain would be removed. Our problem in this day and age, well, there's a lot of problems in this day and age, but one of the problems is we don't trust God to do what He said He'd do. We want to try to figure things out on our own. We want to know in our own mind how things are going to work out. Here, Peter stepped out 100% on faith. He'd never walked on any water before. He'd never done that. He'd never been out in the sea walking on the water. He had no idea how to do it. All he knew was that he believed God could help him do it. And so he stepped out and he walked on the water. Now, I'll point out a few things here this morning. I trust the Lord will help us as we look at this story. Number one, I'll point out to you this morning the peril that the disciples were in. Now, these were a group of men that knew what it was to be out on the sea in the storm. They were fishermen. They'd no doubt, Brother Allen, seen the storm roll in before. And I began to think about this just a little bit, Brother Gary, as I was studying on it. And I can't help but think, and the Bible doesn't say, but I can't help but think that maybe as Jesus tells the disciples to get on that ship and cross over onto the other side, maybe some of them looked out over the horizon and said, "We've seen the clouds look like this before. This doesn't bode well for us. Looks like there's a storm out there." Now, if I know the devil, I know that he was up on every one of their shoulders saying, "Don't you do what the Lord told you to do." They storm clouds out over the sea. Now, y'all are fishermen. You know better than this. Use your minds. You know how this is going to work out for you. Don't get involved in this. That Jesus, he don't know what he's talking about. He's sending you out there into a mess. Don't do it. So I believe, Brother Clarence, it took a little bit of faith for him just to launch a boat out. And don't you know when the storm rolls up? Boy, I feel like I'm preaching this morning. I feel like, don't you know when the storm rose up and the little boat was beginning to toss and it looked like it's going to turn over? Don't you know the devil said, "See, I told you, you knew better. You could see the clouds, you could see the storms. You can see the problems on the horizon. This is what you get for listening to the Lord. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life in following the Lord that storms have come. And the devil said to me, this is what you get for following Jesus. Your boat's going to turn over. Look at the mess that you're in. You ought to have known better than to step out and done what it was you done. Now the disciples here, they're fishermen. They know what it is. They understand the peril that the storm brings. They understand the trouble that they're in. They're all able to comprehend that. Nobody is bewildered here about the real problem that they're facing. And it's for sure a problem of life and death. And they know all of this. They understand all of this. But they had forgotten one thing. And what they had forgotten, listen, was that it was the Lord that had put them in this storm. It was the Lord. What they had forgotten about was that they were in the center of God's will. Now, if you'll get this right here, it'll help you this week. Being in the center of God's will does not inoculate you from facing troubles and problems and storms like Benny Hinn and Rod Parsley, and that bunch of liars will tell you that it does. It doesn't mean that being in the center of God's will does not mean you will not face hardships. But what I like about this brother Gary is that it was his intention to put him in the storm, and it was his intercession that preserved them through the storm. I see them as they're tossing and turning. I may run and shout just to spite the devil. I see them running. I see them as they're tossing and turning out there on the ship. And my friend, the waves is beating and the rain is falling and the thunder's clapping. But somewhere there on the mountainside, the Lord's a-praying. And he's looking over his disciples. And he sees them toiling. And he sees them in trouble. But he's interceding on their behalf. He's talking to the Father about them. And then not only that, but thank God he goes to where they're at to help them in the trouble that they're facing. I'm glad that regardless of the troubles that I face, I have one that's seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Make an intercession for me. I said, glory to God. Stephen, as he was stoned and looked steadfastly into heaven, and he said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, he was watching over Stephen as he was facing the troubles and the hardships of life. Aren't you glad we got one this morning that intercedes on our behalf? When we're facing troubles, when we're facing problems, when we have heartaches, we've got one that's an advocate with the Father. Amen. Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm glad that through his blood and upon his promises, I'm able to approach the throne of grace boldly. Amen. Speak with the Father. Amen now. We just wells to worship the Lord this morning. All them disciples had forgotten. They weren't alone. There was one watching them. Hey, there's one that had their eye on them. There's one that's going to go to them. They weren't alone. Oh, praise be to the Lamb of God. I'm glad to report to you this morning. I've got one that's watching over me. He knows where I'm at. He knows more than that, Brother Rick. He knows where I'm going to be tomorrow. And he knows where I'm going to be the next day. Ain't that a good God? And he's already working things out that I don't even know need to be worked out. Do you believe that? Do you? Do you believe it? Well, and we ought to praise the Lord for it. Now, listen. We see their peril. But not only do we see their peril, but we see their panic. Now, the ship is being tossed. They're out of control. That's something that some of you know about me, some of you may not. I don't like roller coasters. Never have liked them. Daddy made me get on the Scooby-Doo roller coaster at Carowinds when I was a little boy. And kept talking about how he'd seen bolts are falling out of it and that we was going to fall off. And that's the last roller coaster I ever did get on. I hate them suckers. And then Rachel taught me years ago into getting on them tubes as you go down through a sliding thing, you know, water ride. She said, oh, it ain't bad. The youngins had wrote it, you big baby. And so I didn't want to be called a baby. Peer pressure's terrible even at about 30 years old. So I got on that thing, and I got on it where I could see how to go down through the tunnel I wanted to see. It's a big raft deal. And so I could see. And that feller, he said, "Well, this is a heavy one," because it had all five of us on it. Said, "Here we go." And here we went. When he throwed us off that thing, I reckon where I was the heaviest and out of the crew, I immediately turned around backwards and I rode that whole ride backwards. Now, they had to throw away that tube when I got done because I'd clawed through it in four places and it was horribly stained when it was over. Scared me absolutely to death. I got down there at the end, washed up on that feller's feet. He said, "Wasn't that fun?" I said, "There wasn't a thing about that fun. I'll never be on that again." But I come to a realization while I was on that crazy ride. I understand now why it is I don't like it. I always thought, I ain't afraid of heights. I'll climb a ladder, get up on top of a house, whatever. I ain't afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of things that go fast. All that kind of stuff, I can do that, get in the car and go fast. So I'm not afraid of that. But I understood, riding that ride, finally, what it was that I was afraid of. And by the way, if you ever go to that water park there in Gatlinburg Smokies of whatever it is, if you'll go in that tube, it's got that big, in that big tube, it's got that big raft in it, you'll see claw marks all down the inside of that tube where I was trying to slow that blessed thing down. What it was is I don't like the feeling of being out of control. What it is I'm a control freak. As long as it's got a steering wheel and I can steer it, we'll go as fast as you want to go, wherever you want to go, as long as I'm the one in the driver's seat and I'm the one in control. But it's something about that feeling of being out of control. It brings panic into my heart. Can I say that it's even more so when it's in our life? It's a situation that's came up and we feel like we don't have any control over it. It feels like we can't do anything about it. And I know a lot of you are just like me. You try to figure it out, amen. Try to work it out. Let's do this, let's do that. But in the end, there's some things in life that we have zero control over. And it's in them times that we just got to give it to the Lord. We can't figure it out. We can't put our mind to it. And we have absolutely no control. Now, I call this situational overload. Now, I want you to think about this. The situation that the disciples were in had absolutely overrun and overtook their lives. Think about it with me. As they're riding that ship out, and I don't know if it's a sailboat or I guess they're rowing, they're probably saying, "Boy, wasn't that a good miracle? Amen. Oh, look at all these baskets that's left over. Oh, ain't God good to us? Boy, didn't the Lord just work a miracle in our lives?" They probably, Andrew said, "Well, when I found that little lad with them fishes and loaves, I never would have dreamed that it worked out like that." Yeah. Peter said, "Well, that's just our Lord. I mean, he's so good to us." And they're riding out through there and singing songs and quoting scripture and talking about how good the Lord is. But it didn't take but just a minute of the storm and the boat a tossing and things are falling off. And all of a sudden, Brother Allen, they're not quoting scripture anymore. They're probably not even thinking about that miracle anymore. My friend, all that's went out the window because the situation's overtook them. And the water's coming in the boat. Now, they ain't got time to think about nothing else. They're completely, totally overrun by the situation. Watch this. Here's what situational overload will do to you. All of a sudden, everything seems bad. Nothing seems good. That's situational overload. They look out and here comes Jesus walking on the water, but not a one of them said, "That's Jesus. Hallelujah, we're rescued. Hallelujah, we're saved. Here comes the Lord." Not a one of them said that. They said, "Oh, Things just went from bad to worse, boys. Because here comes a spirit. Now, when he's talking about a spirit, he's not talking about Caleb the Holy Ghost. He's talking about a spook. Here comes a spook. A walk. That's the only explanation for it. He's a walking on the water. He's got to be one of them spooks. Now, don't give him too hard of a time. Because around this seaside, Jesus sure had cast out a lot of demons. And so this was a demon-infested seashore, no doubt about that. And probably they had expected to see some demons around that day. But when they looked out, they automatically assumed the worst. Now, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this very thing in my life. Instead of saying, the Lord's going to work this out, it's going to be okay, I have programmed myself to automatically expect the worst. I'm surprised my wife didn't run and holler amen right there. We're riding home Friday night from the pottery shop, and she goes, shoulder hurting? Yeah. I'm sitting over there thinking, left shoulder, pain, heart attack. She's having a heart attack, sure as the world. I'm supposed to turn around and head back toward town. That way we're near the ambulance. You know, I don't think that pulled muscle, sore from working all day around the shop. My mind immediately goes to worst case scenario. Yeah. Swam program, worst case scenario. And I've always thought to myself, Brother Clarence, if I'll expect the worst, then I'll not be disappointed. Amen. If you expect a heart attack, it ends up not being a heart attack, then you're pleased, regardless of what happens. Anything's an improvement, right? Oh, shoulder's out of joint. That's better than what I thought. Amen. Oh, come on now. Y'all just like me. Headache, stroke. Huh? Now, my wife, she knows me. She's lived with me for 20 years, and last night she's rubbing my head, and she's going, you got a knot right there. I said, well, I've always had a knot there. Oh, really? I never felt it. So I spent the rest of the night, Brother Rick, going, is that not there yesterday? I ain't so sure. That is a strange feeling, not. Brain cancer. What is? Just expect the worst. That way, if it's just a knot on your head, who cares? It's a knot on my head. Hallelujah. It ain't brain cancer. But I always expect the worst. And that's what situational overload will do to you. The devil will get you so overwhelmed with the circumstances of life that when something good's happening, Jesus walking to them on the water, they have no realization that something good's happening. It's automatically, situation just went from bad to worse, fellas. We've got a huge storm, but that ain't even the biggest problem we got. What? There's a spook walking out on the water. Here comes the spirit. Oh, my goodness. You've got to be kidding me. But the Lord didn't let them worry about it long. Because we see in these verses that he brought peace in the midst of their panic. He sees their panicking. And he speaks to them. He says two things. The first thing that he says is he says, it is I. Identification. I'm glad the Lord let us know when he's around. It's I. And then one commonality of the Lord, this is a sentence he uttered a lot, a variant of it. Be not afraid. Calm down, boys. And as soon as they heard the Lord's voice, nothing about the storm changed. It was just as boisterous, just as bad as it was before he spoke. But once he spoke, what changed was the attitude on the ship. All of a sudden, they were reminded of the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. All of a sudden, they were reminded about what a great God it was they served. And all of a sudden, that thing that seemed as if it would overwhelm them didn't seem so big anymore, Brother Billy. And as a matter of fact, what he said so calmed them and so helped them in the the storm that Peter said, I believe, get out and walk on it. Oh, it sure does make a difference when the Lord shows up, don't it? They've been toiling and rowing and screaming and squalling. Now Peter said, I believe I'll walk on that. Huh? I believe I should get out there and walk around a little bit. Now I want you to notice Peter. First, look with me, if you will, this morning at his desire. Peter started out a good walk with a good desire. He wanted to be two things. Are you with me? He wanted to be like Jesus. Jesus is walking on the water. Peter wanted to walk on it. Wanted to be like him. Oh, that's a good desire. I want to be like the Lord. The Lord's walking on the water. I want to walk on it. But not only do you want to be like Jesus, but you want to be near Jesus. Now, Peter could have stood on the boat and said, Lord, get over here. That wasn't fast enough for Peter. He said, Lord, I'm coming where you're at. If it be thou, bid me come unto you on the water. Lord, I want to be like you, but I not only want to be like you, I want to be with you. Because if I know where I'm, and what we're going to see this here in just a minute, Peter's saying, I know if I can be where you're at, everything's going to be all right. If I can just be where you're at, you're going to take care of me. If I can be where you're at, you're going to see to me. If I can be where you're at, everything's going to be okay. So he said, let me come out there, Lord. He had a good desire. He wanted to be like Jesus, and he wanted to be with Jesus. But then we see also Peter's decision. Now, at the Lord's command, this is important. Mark this down. Peter didn't just go, oh, it's the Lord. Whoo! That'd been a good way to drown it. But at the Lord's command, Peter stepped out on the water. Now, I see a lot of people saying, well, I'm just going to step out on faith, preacher. You better have some Bible. You better have some communication with heaven on that first. Stepping out on faith is not just blindly leaping into something you don't understand. Stepping out on faith is when you've got the guarantee of God's word, the unction of God's spirit on something that you don't understand, and then stepping out and saying, I'm willing to put myself on the line and do that anyway. Before Peter ever stepped out on the boat, he first called the Lord and said, Lord, can I come out there? And the Lord said, come. Now that was a command of God. And once the Lord said, come, Peter had nothing to worry about. I don't know how many steps he took. I don't know how far he went. But what I do know, Brother Billy, is that he walked to Jesus on the water. Now look. We see here his decision, but in the end, we see his despair. Look what the Bible said. Jesus said, come, verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Then there's a but in the mix. Verse 30. But, you know, there's a lot of but gods in your Bible where God butts in, but they sometimes Satan butts in. Sometimes the flesh butts in. But when he saw the wind boisterous, here comes that fear back. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! I don't know how many steps he took. I can guarantee you this, if it was two steps, that's two steps more than anybody else has ever took. Don't be throwing off on Peter. That's two more steps on the water than you've ever took. If it's three steps, that's three more than you ever took. However many steps it was, at some point the flesh did what it has done to all of us so many times. It said, quit looking at Jesus. Look at all these problems. And he saw the wind boisterous. He saw the waves again. And he came off that spiritual high and he came to the realization for just a moment that he was still in a problem. Now, I'm going to paint a picture right here for you. You go through problems, struggles, troubles, heartaches. You get in a church, you drag yourself to church. You sit down on the church pew and the Holy Ghost moves through. And for just a few moments, watch, you forget about all that. It's like it don't even exist. And you're just worshiping God and praising God. And after the service, you're shaking my hand and saying, oh, preacher, that's exactly what we needed. Glory to God, I feel so much better. I'm glad I got all that trouble off my mind. Preacher, I just left it. Oh, I just feel great. But what happens when you walk out the back door? The sea breeze hits you in the face. A good wave splashes up and hits you on the side of the head. And all of a sudden, you're not concentrating on the Lord like you was during the service anymore. And what happens is despair sets back in and fear kicks back in and you're scared again. And fear sinks us. In the end, fear sinks us. Because when Peter got afraid, what had seemed like concrete waves began to seem like quicksand. And he's going under. And he'd put himself, listen to me, he'd put himself all by faith and in the will of God, he'd put himself in a more dangerous situation than what it was on the boat. Physically speaking. But spiritually, everything was A-OK. Because the one thing that Peter knew when he stepped off the boat was still true, even though he'd forgot it while he was sinking. He did the only thing that Peter knew how to do. He cried out and said, Lord, save me. I don't know, Brother Gary, if he'd walked out to where he was an arm's length away from Jesus and all Jesus had to do was just reach over and pull him up. I don't know if he was still many hundreds of yards away from Jesus, but through Jesus' supernatural power, he was there. Whether it was 100 yards, 5 feet, or 1,000 miles, Jesus is always immediately. He was away from Lazarus and he tarried 3 days for the glory of God. But had he wanted to, he could have touched Lazarus immediately in the same way that he touched the Syrophoenician's, her daughter, immediately. He never went to her house. He's out there on the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Never went to their house, but immediately she was made whole. That's because he is able to do things anywhere, at any time, and able to do them immediately. As a matter of fact, when he comes back for his church, he's going to do that in a moment, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. It's going to be that fast because he does things immediately. And immediately. I'm glad he saves immediately. There's a lot of people say, well, preacher, you gotta be baptized. You gotta do this, you gotta do that. Let me tell you something, friend. The moment you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's immediately. Peter said, Lord, save me. And immediately, in the midst of his despair, in the midst of all his heartache, in the midst of the storm, came an outstretched hand, and it was the Lord. Now, I don't know how they got back to the boat. Walking together hand in hand, I imagine. Maybe the Lord carried him. But somehow they all got back on the boat. And in the end, and this is the important part, that's why I pointed it out at the beginning of the message. In the end, they ended up exactly where the Lord said they would all along. Despite all that storminess and despite all that problem, despite all that, they ended up just exactly where the Lord said they would when they shoved off into the sea. So I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord sends you to the other side, you'll go to the other side. Now, there's a whole message to be preached in this on getting to the other side. I'm glad, thank God, the old ship of Zion, she may be tossed with the waves and troubles and cares and affairs of this world, but she's going to pull into port one of these days, just like the Lord said she would. Now, you may be facing problems, troubles, heartaches, storms this day. You may be in the midst of it, situationally overloaded. It may seem like you can't see which way's up. You can't figure out which way's down. The boat's about to flip over. Everything seems wrong. And even when the Lord comes walking, you kind of suspect that that may be a spirit. Life has overtook you. You don't see how things are going to get any better. Well, God sent a preacher by on a cold February morning to tell you if God will do it for Peter, he's not a respecter of persons. Find a little faith. Believe that the Lord's able. Trust in him. And he might just let you do a little water walking during the middle of your storm too. It'll take a little faith. Let's stand our feet. Father, thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture. Lord, in the way it speaks to our heart every time we read from it. Lord, I don't know who the message is for today, but there's someone, God, that's in the building today, maybe a few people, Lord, that needed the message this morning. Your word will not return void. And I pray, God, that whoever you've spoke to this morning, Lord, would find their way to an altar this morning, place their faith in you, trust you with whatever situation it is that they're facing today, and Lord, would receive a blessing. Do that now as only you can, and we'll thank you and praise you for everything that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.